Alrighty. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala. So, the aqidah portion of Ibn Abi Zayd began with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I want to give you five categories of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, so that you can know them, okay, know them well. Okay. The first attribute. Okay. First category, Roman numeral one. Okay. Is the attribute of his self, sifatun nafs, and that is very easy, existence. Okay. That Allah is exists, his existence, wujud. Okay. The second attribute, that's Roman numeral two, the second, are as-sifat, the attributes that are rationally comprehensible. That means you can know them with your intellect. Okay? And the ulama differed on it, but there are seven. And why can the ulama differ upon it? Because this is a matter of, like, with the intellect you can know these. You know them?
No, I just wanted to ask you, what's the name in Arabic?
Sifat al-Ma'ani. Okay. Salaam wa rahmatullah. Wissam, what are they? Go. Assalamu alaikum, akhi. You need something, my brother? Okay, take care. Go. Al-Haya, life. Two. Al-Ilm, knowledge. Three. Al-Baqa, eternality. Number three. Four. Qidam, pre-eternality. Not having a beginning. Having no beginning. Four. Qudra. Okay. Qudra. Capability. Okay.
So the maqa qidam doesn't apply here. It's not going
to be. Okay. Next. Irada. Willpower. Okay. You can have willpower, but no ability. Like, I want to do something, but I can't. And you could have the ability, but you're lazy, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has irada and qudra. He has will to take action, meaning opposite to what the scientists say, that what's out there is some kind of natural law that's moving everything, right? There's not an existent living thing that's moving, okay? Matters, moving matters, okay? Moving the creation, creating, okay? Ilm, haya. Qudra, irada. What's next?
Kalam.
Speech, that he has speech. What's next?
Sama,
hearing. Basar. You got that? You got these seven? These are sifat al-ma'ani. Hearing and seeing.
So can we
repeat the seven, Wusam?
Because I have
biqa'in. Yeah, biqa'in qidam, no, to X those out. They're going to come in the next category.
Haya,
ilm. Qudra, irada. Kalam, sam'a, basar.
Okay.
Roman numeral 3 of Sifat al-Salbiyah. Okay. Regarding the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can know them, okay, by looking at the creation. But regarding the essence of Allah, we know them by the opposite of the creation. Right? It's the opposite of the creation. So the next Roman numeral 3 is as-sifat as-salbiyah. The attributes that we know that Allah is not, right? From what He is not. Knowledge, salb means the negative, right? Yeah, salb, the words, like if someone's salbi, that means he has taken no action, right? So these sifat are five. Number one, His oneness. Negates, wahdaniyah. Negates what? Partners. Negates partners. That's called al-wahdaniyah. Okay. Number two. What's number two, Wissam? No, before that. Al-ghina al-mutlaq. Absolute, having no need. Absolutely having no need of anything. Al-ghina al-mutlaq. And you're gonna gather these all in something that you'll never forget after this. Okay. Number three, al-baqa, exists forever, having no end. Number four, al-qidam, okay, has always existed without beginning. Al-qidam. Number five, mukhalafatul hawadith, completely in every way different from his creation. Okay? So this is a negative phrase, right? So you're not saying what he is, you're saying that he's different from all his creation. Okay? Mukhalafatul hawadith. Now, this Roman numeral 3, Islam, you with us?
Yeah.
You're going to remember this in something you'll never forget. Because these five attributes are derived from Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ وَحْدَانِيَةً اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ الْغِنَى الْمُطْلَقُ لَمْ يَلِدْ الْبَقَاءُ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ الْقِدَمُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ مُخَالَفَةُ الْحَوَادِثِ مُخَالَفَةُ الْحَوَادِثِ حَوَادِثُ means like created things, okay, things that change. Okay, so the Roman numeral 3 on the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are sifat as-salbiyah, and they are known from the opposite, right, from the negative, and they are gathered in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Okay? Gathered in Surah Al-Ikhlas. That's why if someone truly understands Surah Al-Ikhlas, you have actually closed the doors on so many ways of kufr and disbelief and misunderstanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's amazing, subhanAllah, the most important subject for a Muslim is Tawheed, ilm Tawheed. And the most, why do they call it Aqeedah? They call it Tawheed because knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the whole crux of it. There's no point in studying angels before you studied the attributes of Allah. So if people don't even know the attributes of the Creator, then what are they worshipping? Right? You have to know this stuff. This really should be stuff that, if I was running an Islamic school, this would be studied as soon as the kids start really understanding anything. Maybe, what is that, 6th, 7th grade? Right? So really start to grasp things maturely. Okay. Roman numeral 4 is called as-sifat al-am, the general attributes, or we also call it as-sam'iyat. As-sam'iyat, meaning what you hear. Meaning you would only know it because you heard it from the Quran or from the Prophet ﷺ, from the sources of revelation. Remember we gave the analogy yesterday that of someone knocking on the door. Your intellect can only give you certain information on that. Only if someone you trust and has sound intellect, okay, and has no motive, ulterior motive, goes out, speaks to that person and comes back, do you know anything? That's what sam'iyat is. Alright? Sam'iyat. And we rely on sam'iyat, we won't call them sam'iyat, but this type of transmitted knowledge all the time. Right? Has anyone here been to Zimbabwe? Right? Do you question that it exists? Do you know anyone who's been to Zimbabwe? No. But you trust that it exists. Why? Because every single map has it on there. So not everyone's going to come up with that lie, right? And there's no motive to come up with a country called Zimbabwe, right, as a lie. So this is the concept of that knowledge is partially transmitted, right? So it's part rational and part transmitted. Now the sam'iyat is really a beautiful thing that you would spend a couple hours, maybe you can spend a weekend looking at. The sam'iyat are all of the attributes that our iman grows from studying them, and that we ponder upon. And they are divided into two categories. Okay? Two categories. The attributes of jamal, beauty, and the attributes of jalal. The attributes of power, majesty, and might, and the attributes of jamal, beauty. Okay, sifatul jamal and sifatul jalal. Okay, there's another way you could break these down, right? Or within these two, you could break these down as single attributes, pairs, okay, and addad, or mutually inclusive, complementary opposites. So a single attribute is just an attribute that's by itself, or pairs. Attributes that come together like a necklace, like a beautiful one to examine, is an attribute that comes in three pairs. Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari', Al-Musawwir. Each one of them has the meaning of creator, but they have meanings, different shade of meaning for each one. Al-Khaliq implies the creation from nothingness, right? The creation from nothingness. The aspect of it is that it's from nothing. Al-Bari' implies the wise, okay, wise engineering of the created thing. So when you look at, when you have awe of something, right? When you look at how a motor is put together, or how the inside of a computer is put together, right? It's the engineering of it. When you look at the pyramids, right? The engineering, the pyramid itself is not a thing of beauty. It's just a bland triangle, right? It's not a thing of beauty in that respect. There's no art on that, right? But when you think, why is it amazing that people go look at it, right? Because of the engineering, that there are wind tunnels that pass through, that wherever you're inside the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, you can have fresh air. The idea that there are their own pagan rituals, that certain doors are aligned, right? That certain dates the sun comes in, right? On certain dates, and will shine on like a hieroglyph of some shirk or other, right? So the engineering of it. So... the value of when you appreciate something is not just the beauty, it's the engineering. So Al-Bari' points to the engineering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at anything, even the smallest ant, right? It's an amazing thing. You could study the ant. There's probably scientists that spend their whole career on insects, right? There's just so much to study. So it's the engineering of the creation. Number three, al-musawwir. We aren't just appreciate the function. We also appreciate the form, al-musawwir. That means that when he creates, the form just is amazing to look at, even if there's no function there, right? And usually, almost always, when Allah makes something of beauty, there's a form to that function. Okay. Look at the butterflies that Allah creates. Like, you know, ever hear the Bauhaus movement? Bauhaus means function only. It's a German movement that's named after a city, Bauhaus, I think it's called. Or maybe it has some other, the house of, I don't know what it's called in German. But the Bauhaus movement is the idea that you only focus on the function. That's it. Okay? So if they make a room, they're going to make an all-white room with nothing else. Right? If they make like a building, it's just a rectangle. Okay? And that's it. So they only look at the function. But human beings, what's the critique of the Bauhaus movement? Human beings have to look at the form, right? We want a beautiful thing to look at, okay? When you look at a butterfly, right? It could have all been just bland butterflies, right? But no, they all have like very detailed spots. When a snowflake comes down, every single snowflake is different, and 99.99999% of the snowflakes will not be seen by human beings. Right? No one will see them. So all the snowflakes of Antarctica and parts of these parts, right? Siberia, no one sees them, but they're all different. Why? Allah's showing us when you beautify the form of something, there's value to that. Okay? The beauty of it pulls out the tasbih from a person. As Surah Ali Imran tells us, when we look at Allah's creation and we ponder it, what do we say? Subhanallah. Right? It pulls out the love of Allah from within us. Look at these frogs and these salamanders. Okay? All the different colors, fluorescence, the toucans, all these things. Okay? You see toucans, his beak and all these things. Amazing colors for these birds. So this is an example of the pairs. Now let's talk about another type of these sam'iyat, or many of them. Addad. Addad are complementary opposites. What's the there are two types of opposites. Complementary opposites and mutually exclusive opposites. This is logic, if you know this, right? It's very useful in logic. We call it adid, is a mutually complementary opposites. And we have a naqid, mutually exclusive opposites. Like, what's mutually exclusive opposites? Life and death. Pregnancy and not pregnant. Pregnant and not pregnant, right? So, an item either exists or doesn't exist. You cannot have both at the same time, right? You are alive or dead. You cannot have both at the same time. That means if you choose one, immediately you negate the other. That's called the naqid. It comes from the word naqd. The word naqd means to cancel out. Like naqd al-wudu. Right? Naqd al-wudu. That which breaks your wudu. Wudu. You either have wudu or you don't have wudu. Right? You have tahara and you have hadath. You're going to be one or the other. It's not going to be both. And then you have the addad, the mutually exclusive opposites. With Allah, mutually complementary opposites. There are many. Like ad-dar and nafi'.
What? Beginning and end.
Beginning and end, right?
Beginning,
correct. First, al-awwal wal-akhir. Right? He's the first and the first without beginning and last without end. Okay? What else? Ad-dar wa nafi'. Right? The one who brings harm and the one who brings good. Benefit. How about al-muhi al-mumit? He brings life and he brings death. How about al-qabid al-basit? The one who makes something constricted, right? And the one who makes something expanded. And ourselves, our moods, our hearts can be constricted at some point and expanded at other points. There's a wisdom for all these. So that's mutually exclusive opposites. So this is the sam'iyat. We're not going to go further in it, but these are the ways that you can look at the sam'iyat. Al-jalal and asma' al-jamal, beauty and majesty, or the singular attributes, the sibling, you could say, the pairs of attributes, or the, for example, al-alim al-khabir. That's a pair. Al-alim al-khabir. How do we know what's the difference? Some of the ulama say that al-alim is for the outward, al-khabir is for the hidden. Something's outward, right? Something's hidden, right? Al-khabir. So he knows what is outward and what is hidden. And then the ulama have many works on this. And then you have the, like we just said, addad. Now we go to Roman numeral 5. Roman numeral 5 is where you have another category called al-mutashabihat. Al-mutashabihat. Okay? And this is where all of the test comes in. This is a test. Because Allah tests us in everything. And the mutashabihats have a test. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those who fail this test in the Quran as fi qulubihim marad, zaykh. Right? Okay? There is a sickness in their hearts and a zaykh if they fail this test. So, therefore, when it comes to the mutashabih, all of this is agreed upon. The wujud, baqa, qidam. No two Muslims will disagree upon it. If they disagree, there's a big problem. The mutashabih is this, that which requires us to go back to the scholars before we make a judgment on it. Okay? Because this is where you could falter. So it might actually be only small in number, the subject matter is thin in the actual issues to be discussed, but it's very important because that might be the error. Like a car is, how big is a car? What's the most important part of the car? The key, right? So that little key, if it's damaged, the whole car is useless to you, right? So that's why you have to make sure. So when we want to be cautious in the matter, what do? You have to go back to the ulama and look what their precedent is on these matters. Okay? And on this, I'll read a section here from Sharh Sahih Muslim by Al-Imam Nawawi. And he's commenting upon, okay, the idea of Allah Azza wa Jal having a surah. Okay? A surah is an image. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, there will be one final test for the believers. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in a surah, right, in an image. But then the believers will say, this is not our Lord. Okay? So then they pass the test. But if they say, this is our Lord, they failed the test. So this is the one final test. So what does it mean? How can Allah come in an image? He can't transform himself does he transform himself into another image? Right? If you believe that, then you can believe he transformed himself into another image like a son, right? Jesus, that's what they say, right? It is also God in the image of a human, right? And other such wrong ideas. So Imam An-Nawawi gives us a paragraph on this and gives us the principles of the mutashabih. The word mutashabih means look similar to something else. Okay. Mutashabih means look similar. That's why it's a test. The mutashabihat are any type, ayah, or hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of himself in a way that will conjure up an image, a human image. So it's mutashabih. Why? Because you know that Allah doesn't take these images. However, the ayah is maybe indicating to you. No, that's if you misunderstood it. So we have to go back to the ulama. So what does he say here? Imam An-Nawi says, and this is volume 3 of Sharh An-Nawi ala Sahih Muslim, as published by Dar al-Kutub al-Ilmiyyah. And right off the bat in this volume, page 17, he says, I'lam, know, أن أهل العلم, okay, that the people of knowledge, في أحاديث الصفات, on the hadiths of the attributes, وآيات الصفات, and the verses of attributes, قولين, there are only two statements, قولين. Who did he attribute this to? أهل العلم. Imam al-Nawawi, if you ever want to be safe in your religion, you just go to Imam al-Nawawi. Okay, he's completely agreed upon, and he's the safest of scholars to follow. أحدهما, the first one of them, okay, one of them, وَهُوَ مَذْهَبْ مُعْظَمِ السَّلَفِ, and this is the way of the majority of the first three generations and the previous imams previous to him. Well, كُلُّهُمْ, or all of them, he says, أَنَّهُ لَا يَتَكَلَّمُ فِي مَعْنَاهَا, okay, he doesn't speak about its meaning, right? He does not speak about its meaning, however, بَلْ يَقُولُونَ, okay, they say, يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نُؤْمِنَ بِهَا وَنَعْتَقِدُ لَهَا مَعْنَا يَلِيقُ بِجِلَالِ اللَّهِ. We must believe in it in a way that suits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the way that suits Allah azza wa jal? Okay. اعتقادنا الجازم, our firm belief, أن الله تعالى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ليس كمثله شيء, there is none like unto him. وأنه, and that he is, منزه عن التجسيم. He, منزه means to be free from. Alright? تنزيه means to be free from. مُنَزَّهْ عَنْ التَّجْسِيمِ, bodily, having any bodily matter. Right? التَّجْسِيمِ, any bodily form. Matter. وَالْإِنْتِقَالِ, movement from place to place. If you say that something moves from place to place, that means it needs to exert effort, and it means that if it's in a place, that means it's not in another place. Okay? الْإِنْتِقَالِ وَالْتَحْيِيزِ فِي جِهَةٍ, okay? And the limitation to a direction. Brother Adnan Bashir, he's a doctor from London, he asked the question, what do you tell children if they ask where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists without a place. Okay, without a place, this is wajib. Okay, tahiz fi jiha wa an sa'iri sifat al makhluq, and all of the other attributes of creation. If a creation has an attribute, okay, therefore Allah Azza wa Jal will be different from that, is in essence. وَهَذَا الْقَوْلُ هُوَ مَذْهَبْ جَمَاعًا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّمِينَ, and this statement is also the position of a majority, a large majority of the Aqidah scholars, المتكلمين. وَاخْتَارَهُ جَمَاعَةٌ مِنْ مُحَقِّقِيهِمْ وَهُوَ أَسْلَمْ, and some of their best, مُحَقِّقِيهِمْ, the most knowledgeable, have chosen this position, and that is the safest. And in Arabic, it's called al-tafweed wa-tanzih, right? So tafweed on the meaning. As for what does it mean? No comment. Allahu alam. But we must insist upon the tanzih, and that is that what we just said: munazzah an al-tajseem wa-intiqal wa-tahiz fi jihah wa-an sa'ir al-sifat al-makhluqat. Okay, al-tajseem, any bodily form, wa-intiqal, movement from place to place, wa-tahiz fi jihah, and is limitation or being in a direction, right? To be in a direction. Up, down, right, left, north, south, all these. وَعَنْ سَائِرْ صِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ, and all of the other attributes of the makhluq. Okay? And this is the safe position. Now what is the second position? The second position confirms the latter part, right? The tanzih part, and gives you an interpretation, right? For the actual meaning. Gives you the meaning of it. Okay? والقول الثاني وهو معظم مذهب المتكلمين. Most عقيدة scholars took this second position. Okay, أنها تتأول على ما يليق بها. That you give it تأويل, you interpret it. تأويل means interpretation. Okay, على ما يليق بها. Okay, على حسب مواقعها. Depending upon its context. وإنما يسوغ تأويلها لمن كان من أهله. And the this action of interpretation should be limited to those who are from its people. أن يكون عارفا بلسان العرب, he must know the Arabic language perfectly. وقواعد الأصول. Okay, and he knows أصول والفروع, and the فروع, the أصول of the religion, basis of the religion, methodology, and the فروع. ذا رياضة في العلم, constantly in the field of scholarship. فعلى هذا المذهب يقال في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيأتيهم الله, and then he actually interprets it. Okay, that in this specific, he gives you the interpretation of this specific hadith of Allah coming. What does it mean, Allah coming in an image? فيأتيهم الله أن الإتيان, that Allah's coming, عبارة عن رؤيتهم إياه, is an expression intending to mean their vision of Him. Okay, لأن العادة, because normally أن من غاب عن غيره لا يمكنه رؤيته, that if someone goes away that you can't see him. So he expressed the vision of Allah by his coming. Okay, لا يمكنه رؤيته إلا بالإتيان, فعبر بالإتيان والمجيء هنا عن الرؤيا مجازا, metaphorically, metaphoric use. So we'll stop at this point here. Okay, and we will go to the Salaf, right, the early Muslims, including some Sahaba, who did this, took this second approach, which is at-ta'wil, okay, on the sifat. Because the Prophet ﷺ forbid and guaranteed hellfire لِمَنْ تَكَلَّمَ بِالْقُرْآنِ بِرَأْيِهِ, whoever speaks about Quran from his own opinion. So therefore the ta'wil, okay, which Allah describes, that there are some ayahs only Allah knows, but also the firmly established scholars know. Okay, and here we have a list of these firmly established scholars. Okay, so we'll take the aqwal of Ibn Abbas. Okay, Ibn Abbas interprets the Kursi. Okay, what does he interpret the Kursi as? Okay, his knowledge. The Kursi, the footstool. Why? Al-Kurras is the place of knowledge. Like, even in colloquial language, Al-Kurrasa is a notebook, the place of knowledge. So the Kursi being the location of all the knowledge. Okay? That's why he says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That means his knowledge encompasses the heavens and the earth. Okay? This is from Ibn Abbas. Where is this found? In At-Tabari. Imam At-Tabari. Okay, and he says the people of Quranic interpretation disagree regarding the footstool, okay, in which it extends over the heavens and the earth. Okay, some of them said it is the knowledge of Allah exalted is his mention. Okay, it is the statement of Ibn Abbas narrated by Ja'far ibn Abi Mughira from Sa'id ibn Jubayr. He said it is his knowledge. Okay, this is Tafsir al-Tabari, volume 3. Okay, Tafsir al-Tabari on Surah al-Baqarah. Kursi as his knowledge. Ibn Abbas interpreting the Majid, the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your Lord and the angels shall come row upon row. This is also in Surah Al-Baqarah. This is a similitude for the manifestation of the sign of His omnipotence and explanation of the signs of His magnificent power and authority. Okay, when one of the kings is present, His presence manifests the effect of awe that are not manifested when only His soldiers or close associates are present. It is reported from Ibn Abbas, okay, that it is his command and decree. What is coming? Is Allah himself moving from place to place? No. Why? Because we have to make tanzih of direction and intiqad. So he says, Ibn Abbas says, it is his command and his decree. Okay? Al-Qurtubi narrated a similar interpretation. Okay? Al-Qurtubi. From whom? The second generation scholar, Al-Hasan al-Basri. Okay? He made the coming mentioned in the verses particular to him as a way of magnifying the effect of these verses. Okay? Just as it is in the hadith, O son of Adam, I fell ill, yet you did not visit me. I sought drink from you, yet you did not give me drink. I sought food from you, yet you did not give me food. Allah is not described with moving from one place to a place. How could He also be described with illness and sickness and drink? Okay? And how could He possibly just be described with movement and displacement, when He has no place or time? Okay, He is not subject to the vicissitude of time, because the passing of time over something means that time is lost, and whoever loses something is incapable. Right? If you're subjected to time, then you could lose time. Then you need time. Whose words are these? Al-Hasan al-Basri. Okay, Hasan al-Basri. In the tafsir of whom? Imam al-Qurtubi, volume 20. Now, Ibn Abbas's interpretation of al-ayn, right? وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَى عَيْنِي. Allah describes, uses the word ayn. وَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. And many other ayahs. Okay? Ibn Abbas says, okay, and this means, we see what is done to you. Okay? We see what is done to you. Ibn Abbas. So when Allah describes his ayn, it means his vision. Right? Without a limb. Ibn Abbas's interpretation of the word hand or yad, many times, right? The yad is described, Ibn Abbas describes it as with power and ability. Meaning, the word yad is with power and ability. It's transmitted in Tafsir al-Qurtubi, volume 18. Okay? Ibn Abbas's description of an-nur, okay? Imam al-Nawawi also describes about this. Is Allah a light? The answer is impossible, because a light is a madda. It's a material thing. It's a substance, and Allah cannot be a substance. Okay? Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Ibn Abbas says in Tafsir al-Tabari, it means hadi al-samawati, ahlu samawati wa ahlu al-ard. That he is the guide of the people of the heavens and the people of the earth. Okay? Ibn Abbas's interpretation of the text that mentioned al-wajh. Okay? Al-wajh. Wajh can mean face, it has other meanings too. Ibn Abbas says it means him, his essence. Okay? Al-Qurtubi says, alright, the face denotes his existence and his essence. Okay? This is the view of the verifying scholars hold. Alright? From our scholars we held this view, Ibn Furaq, Ibn Ma'ali, and others. Ibn Ma'ali says, as for the intended meaning of face according to most of our Imams, it is the existence of the Creator. Right? Meaning his existence. Ibn Abbas on the sin, the shin, yoma yukshafu an saq. It means a severe affliction. Yukshafu an saq, meaning a severe affliction. Ibn Abbas on the jamb, okay, fi jambillah, the ayat that discuss the jamb. Okay, Ibn Abbas says, for what I abandon of obedience to Allah, ya hasrat al ma farratu fi jambillah. Right, what I missed from the side of Allah, it means what I missed of obedience and acts of righteousness that earn Allah's reward, okay, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so this is again Ibn Abbas and his tafsir. How about the students of Ibn Abbas? They also transmitted these things. They talk about the jamb again, the saq again. How about Sufyan al-Thawri on the istiwa? Right, istiwa ala al-arsh, Ibn al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri, describes it as his command over the heavens and the earth, control and power over the heavens and the earth. Right, istiwa, meaning that. Okay. Imam al-Shafi'i also says, al-wajh, Allah knows best, but it means that there is, it is the direction which Allah has directed you towards. Imam Malik on the descent from the heavens, let's say this famous hadith that Allah Azza wa Jal comes down in the last third of every night, it means, Imam Malik says, his command descends each night. As for him, he is permanent and does not pass or displace himself. Okay? This is in also transmitted by Imam Nawawi in his Sharh of Muslim. Imam Ahmad on the Maji', the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is transmitted by Ibn Kathir radiallahu anhu. It reads, Al-Bayhaqi narrated from Al-Hakim, from Amr ibn Samak, from Hanbal, that Ahmad ibn Hanbal interpreted Allah's words, and your Lord shall come, okay, saying that his reward shall come. It is his reward. Okay, Al-Bayhaqi said, there is no problem with this chain of transmission. Ibn al-Jawzi, Allah have mercy upon him, reported from Qadi Abu Ya'la, from Imam Ahmad, regarding Allah's words, do they wait but that Allah should come to them in the cover of clouds? He says what he means is his power and his command. This was clarified in the words of the Exalted. Or the command of your Lord comes. Okay. Another example of this in the Quran is, and your Lord shall come. He said this refers only to his power. Okay. That's Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Hassan al-Basri, regarding the verse, Al-Hassan al-Basri radiallahu anhu said, his command and decree come. Al-Kalbi said, his judgment shall come. Okay. His judgment shall come. This is Tafsir al-Baghawi. He also said regarding the verse that a soul says, oh, what severe regret from my negligence in the sight of Allah. It means in the obedience of Allah. Imam al-Bukhari, on the interpretation of laughter, al-dahik. There are many hadith that refer to Allah's laughter, such as Allah laughs at two soldiers fighting against each other. They're both people of Jannah, right? Right. What does that mean? It means two Muslim and a kafir are fighting. The kafir then may kill the Muslim, so he dies a martyr. Then that kafir in the same battle is captured by the Muslim army. When he's captured, he enters Islam. He sees the Muslims, he loves what he sees, he becomes a Muslim. He goes to Jannah too. So they don't know, they're both going to be brothers in Jannah, even though they're fighting right now. Allah also has a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah laughs at a abd, who gives up his hope on a matter. He's praying for something, praying and praying and praying. He gives up, but Allah knows the next day he's destined to receive it. Right? He laughs at him. Okay? Allah also, he laughs because it's like khalas. He gave up right before he's destined to get it the next day. So he's going to be extremely happy the next day. He also said, Allah laughs at a abd. He never wakes up for tahajjud, but he got afraid of a matter, or he desired a matter, so he starts waking up for tahajjud. Right? Just for that. So what does this mean? Imam Al-Bayhaqi said in his book Al-Asma' Was-Sifat, what has been mentioned regarding laughter. Abu Huraira related from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah laughs at two men, one whom kills the other, and both are entering paradise. Imam Al-Bukhari says the meaning of his laughter here is his mercy. Abu Sulaiman Al-Khattabi said the statement of Abu Abdullah Al-Bukhari is approximate, but interpreting it as pleasure for their action. So he says it's pleasure of their action, the action of the two men is closer and more appropriate. It is known that laughter from those of discernment indicates pleasure, and that smiling and jubilance from them indicate the acceptance of the means of the approach, and that they are the precursors to fulfillment of requests. The people of nobility, when asked, are described with smiling and a cheerful countenance. Hence, the meaning of his statement, Allah laughs at two men, is that he bestows them with bountiful giving, because that is what laughter entails and implies. Okay. How about the great scholar Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani supported the view of al-Khattabi? Okay. All right. He said, another proof that indicates that the intended meaning of laughter is pleasure is that it is made transitive by the governing particle ila, to or at. Okay. You say so-and-so laughed at so-and-so if he smiled at him, manifesting pleasure with him. Okay, that is what Fath al-Bari, one of the books, explanation of Sahih Bukhari that basically have very little disagreements about. It's accepted. The whole point of this exercise is that even though the mutashabihats are small in number, this is where the test lies, right? Yani, there are many body parts that are small. The heart is smaller than some people's biceps, right? But it's more important, right? The heart is more important than the intestines are huge. What's more important? The heart, right? So you can have something small in number, but it can be, you can make the mistake there. So, and what's our reaction? And how do we respond? Only by going with what the ulama have agreed upon, particularly the salaf. Now let's look at Imam al-Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu said in his exegesis of Allah's work, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. He says, okay, except everything except his dominion, it is also said, except that which is intended for Allah's sake. Meaning on the day of judgment, everything will be meaningless except the action that you did for Allah's sake. Okay? We have previously mentioned the consensus of the Ummah regarding the method of figurative interpretation we call ta'wil. Al-Hafiz Abu al-Hasan Ali ibn Qattan, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, and I don't need to read all this, so we will stop here. Okay, so there are, again, to summarize the whole lesson on Aqidah, the five Roman numerals we looked at. Sifatul Nafs, attribute of the Nafs, which is existence. Sifatul Ma'ani or Al Ma'qulat Al Ma'na, we said they are seven and we listed them. All right, Al Haya, Al Irada, Al Qudra, Al Kalam, Al Sam, Al Basar. Did I miss one? Al-ilm? Okay, al-ilm. As-sifatu as-salbiyah, that are summarized in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Qul wallahu ahad, al-wahdaniyah, Allahu samad, al-ghina al-mutlaq, lam yalid, al-baqa, wa lam yulad, al-qidam, wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad, mukhalafatu al-hawadith, different from his creation. Then the one that we should spend the most time on for our iman to increase and ponder upon, right? As-sam'iyat, the sifat, as-sam'iyat, or as-sifat al-amma. Okay, Roman numeral 4. Okay, here. And these are all the attributes that you should ponder upon to increase your iman. But you notice, we spent more time on the mutashabihat, Roman numeral 5. Why? Because that's where the error lies. That's where the situation can be ruined, right, of i'tiqad. And we said here, it branches into two possible opinions. Number one, we say we plead ignorance on as for the meaning. We call that tafweed. But we insist upon at-tanzih. Okay? We insist upon at-tanzih. And what it's what Imam al-Nawawi just said, all right, that it means, okay, and I'll read it again, أَنَّهُ مُنَزَّهٌ عَنِ التَّجْسِيمِ, that he is free from having any bodily matter form. Tajseem, any body or matter or form. Wal-intiqal, movement from place to place. Okay? At-tahiz fi jiha, location in a direction. Okay? Wa'an sa'iri sifat al-makhluq, and any other attribute of the creation. Okay? That's a tanzi. The other part, and this is the safest one, to say, as for the mutshabihat, I'm not going to comment on the meaning, but we insist upon the tanzi part. As for the other branch, some of the early scholars like Ibn Abbas, the Sahaba, and the early scholars like Al-Bukhari, and many of the later scholars, of the Aqidah scholars, took this approach, and that is called At-Ta'wil. And we just gave you the Ta'wilat of Ibn Abbas, as narrated in Al-Tabari, and Al-Qurtubi, all right, reliable translations, transmissions. And we looked at Al-Bukhari, as narrated in Bayhaqi, okay, and in his book itself, and by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. So every source that we used is in a completely agreed upon source, so that we are following the footsteps of these salaf in their ta'wil, if a person is going to look at the ta'wil, and otherwise we exist in tafweed. Any questions? Yeah.
So there's two main scholars
in the Mm-hmm.
So Al-Ash'ari and...
Abul Hasan al-Ash'ari and Abu Mansur al-Maturidi, yes.
So do they both...
It's basically the same thing, yeah, with very minor, insignificant, maybe semi-significant details. But according from what we were taught, you're basically talking the same thing. Yeah. Any questions, Abdurrahman? You good? You guys stayed a lot today, mashallah. You guys deserve. Actually, you know what? Here. Here. What is this?
You guys stayed a lot
today.
Here. Take it, these. You guys deserve... Huh? Any questions from there? There you go. Did you stop it or are we still going?
No, we're still going.
Any comments?
Any
That's it.
From there? There you go.
I know. Hershey Kiss with almonds. Yeah. They should just cancel everything else. Just make Hershey Kiss with almonds. Okay, there's no comments here, right? Nothing? Any comment? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله